Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 11, reading from verse 9 to chapter 12, verse 8. Verse 9 starts out with a kind of sarcasm. God calling young men to do whatever their hearts desire, but cautioning them of the price and the judgment that they will have to pay. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height, and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator, before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Dear people of God, in the last couple of weeks, we've suffered the loss of two of God's people. First of all, Linda Hildebrand, then, of course, Bill Godsey. And such occasions can be beneficial to our souls. That's certainly the way that the preacher views such events in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he says, better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And again, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. Sadness then, especially in the face of death, focuses our hearts and mind on the important issues of life rather than the vain and the temporal. And death, of course, is a universal problem, but many ignore its implications for them and live as though they will never face it. In other words, they act as if they will live forever. Death and mourning drive us to answer the question in regard to our readiness for it. Are you ready? Could you handle the struggles that Linda endured in her life, and especially the latter part of her life? We think we will keep going and our strength and abilities will stay with us to the end of life. But we really know that circumstances change, even in the normal course of life. and may drastically change on account of health issues, how will we handle life then? How will you fare when death comes unexpectedly, or when quality of life dramatically declines and we slowly but surely approach our end? We may foolishly postpone all such questions of preparedness to some future date. But in obedience to wisdom, we should take this opportunity that God has given to us to reflect upon this issue. So this passage then calls us to be prepared for difficult times and, of course, death itself. First of all, early in life. In fact, when we are still youth. The preacher warns, as we open this passage, against a carefree youth. So he sarcastically encourages the young in life to go on thinking that they're going to live forever. He calls them to freely follow all that the youthful heart desires. Whatever pleasures you want, no responsibilities, just do whatever you want. But with it is attached a sobering warning. God will bring you into judgment. Those carefree days will come down upon you like the house that man built on sand. When troubles came, his house came down upon his head. Or as the foolish virgins, when the time came, they had no oil for their lamps. Youth is no comfort for life and death. Youth face death. Youth face diseases. Youth face debilitating events in their life. And there's no crash course to learn all that you need to learn to be able to prepare oneself. But faith in God, trust in God, we can be assured that no matter whether we are young or whether we are adult or whether we're old, that though there may be struggles, yet we will not go under. It's not that we don't feel anything when we face these things, but we don't go down to those things. We don't go down in defeat. And so, even in the last couple of months, of course, we've been praying for Hannah Ong, a 12-year-old. Facing such issues. But having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering our Creator, though difficult, we are still able to face those issues of life. But in the case of Linda, we are thankful that Linda had a church background in her youth, even though it was not a faithful church, in the sense that she heard the full gospel of grace. Nevertheless, she did know about God. And in time, she was brought to a church, Walnut Creek CRC, where she did hear the gospel of grace and embraced it with a joyful heart. And she grew in her faith and in time joined us, Trinity URC, from its beginning. Linda certainly heeded the preacher by remembering and believing in God in the days of her youth. Of course, we know that not all have the privilege of hearing the gospel or having contact with a church in their youth. On the other hand, others are born into the covenant community and are baptized members. But how tragic that for such people, they would fall into this category. That they would be those that say, enjoy yourself. Do whatever you want to do. You're only young once, to have that kind of an attitude. It would be to follow Esau's line that says, what good is a birthright to me? Linda faced great trials and difficulties in her later life, all of which she could never have borne as she did without faith. The regular contacts that we had, and for me only the last 12 years of course, there was never a moment that I spoke with her in which she voiced complaint against God. That God was not faithful to her. That God did not do this or God did not do that. Through all the struggles, through all the disappointments, she was ever cheerful to have visits and to be able to attend church when she was able to, and then to have us visit in the home, to have communion brought to her, and then to join us in the manor nursing home for the services that we had once a month. No, she loved God and loved Him till the end. So her death speaks to the young. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. You in your heart need to know. And you have to do that for yourself. Question that. Question yourself. Am I prepared? What happens if something happens to me in this week? It could happen. And we say that so often. But maybe we just shrug it off. No, not this week. But Linda Vesparis ended up in hospital this week. We said similar kind of things last week. She had the whole week in hospital. Didn't know how serious it was. Thought it was cancer, first of all. It was a struggle. Immediately, these issues come to the front. And it can happen to you. It can happen to me. But also the preacher calls us to be prepared before the struggles of life come. Trials. All kinds of trials, as we've said, can enter our lives without warning. They can be related to work, or they can be related to relationships. All of a sudden, we can lose our jobs, which lead, of course, to financial struggles, and drastically affect our lives. Other trials can be related to relationships. Our marriages may break and throw us for a complete loop. We can quickly lose our bearings, our confidence, and become bitter and confused. Of course, such breakups can have a devastating effect upon our relationship with our children. It can become strained. Broken. If we have no strength of faith to keep us grounded and focused, we can literally fall apart. Our sister Linda faced the trial of a broken marriage. No doubt this brought tensions into her relationship with her children as well. But we are thankful that before such trials entered her life, she had faith in the Creator and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we don't know, she might have contributed to such trials, yet the Lord is gracious and forgiving and restores His erring children. It is not for us to pass verdict upon such events in her life, but it is important for us to point out the important and vital role that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ played in guiding and comforting her in her struggles of life. what will be your anchor and compass if, God forbid, you face such trials in your life? No one thinks such things will happen in their life, but sadly, they happen all too often, and that, of course, in the church itself. Again, it's faith in Christ that prepares us, but also in ill health. As we've said, life also can bring debilitating health issues. We have all too often heard about various cancers in young and old. They can severely affect our quality of life. We can be left with long-lasting handicaps. And Linda suffered those too. In fact, early in our time here, Linda suffered a stroke at a relatively young age. It left her with walking problems, first needing a walker, then a cane, and then later on, of course, she went down to needing a wheelchair. And soon she was not able to live at home either and had to move into assisted living. She was much younger than those that we normally find in such homes. It is not an easy thing to be, as it were, sidelined in life. She spent her last decade in various homes, at least four that I can remember. But what sustained her in such times, in all the moves? I can say without a doubt that it was her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It gave her comfort and hope in such difficult times. Or others that we have that we remember. I mean, how does Hermena deal with these issues day after day after day? She didn't go out one day thinking the rest of her life she's going to be in prison, but it happened. It's her faith that keeps her grounded. It's faith that gives her reason to get up every day, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak of his wonderful salvation. Her testimony, along with Linda's, would be that without the Lord, they could never have survived. But then also in old age, even if we do not experience any of the trials we've mentioned above, then surely old age will unavoidably bring these things into our life. As I said, youth think they'll live forever. They'll always be young. However, the truth is that old age creeps up on us, and in spite of our denials, we have to acknowledge its presence, that it's creeping into our life. In one way, of course, old age is a blessing. The scriptures put it that way. To see our children and our grandchildren is a blessing from the Lord. And of course, that comes in the context of faith. I mean, it can be a burden to see your children and your grandchildren if they're getting into trouble and walking away from the Lord. That's a burden. But it goes without saying that the context of that passage is that it's a blessing to see your children walking in the ways of the Lord and your grandchildren walking in the ways of the Lord. And for those that experience that, they can testify to that, that it is a blessing. On the other hand, though, old age brings its struggles. The preacher describes those for us in this passage. The aging process, it affects our bodies, it affects our faculties. Our 20/20 vision gives way to glasses and cataract and poor vision and even blindness. And you know words that really you didn't think about before, glaucoma and all of these things. Old age makes us acquainted with all of those things. By necessity, We experience them ourselves. Our teeth give way to dentures. That's the way it describes about teeth in verse 3. When the grinders cease because they are few. Talking about the faculty of teeth. Our legs begin to get weak. We cannot go out as easily onto the street as we did before. Our back is no longer strong and able to keep us upright. Our arms and legs become weak and unstable. Physically, the aging process is not easy. No doubt, that is why some saints wonder why the Lord leaves them. Why the Lord doesn't take them. What is it that they can do? That's the handicaps of age that come. And so the preacher is asking, what will comfort us in those times? We won't speak like we did when we were youth. Oh, we can do everything. We can do this. We can do this. And we don't have time for God. And we don't have time for church. We're so busy. Our life is so busy. We're doing so many things. There's not enough hours in the day. But what are you going to do when you are old? You won't go hang around the mall then. You won't go from one party to another then. You won't be able to text as much as you can now. What are you going to do then? What will comfort us in those times? How do seniors live? How do they get through the day? It's the strength of faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That though they may be shut in, yet they find a companionship that is far greater and far richer than anything that a youth has in the height of their life. But here they are in a home and they lie in bed and they can't even get up during the day. I mean, how difficult is that life? But having faith, gives us a solid foundation that even in those experiences, we have hope. Our life is not vain. Our life is not useless. I didn't find that when I visited with Linda, and at the time that's what she was, just lying in a bed all day. It was never that she had no hope. There was no joy. No, the joy was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preacher is pleading with us. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's not a switch that we can switch on when we need all of these things. It's not that we get into a senior's home and say, boy, you know, I can't do the things I did. I need religion now. It doesn't work that way. Because God says to the youth, you do all of these things, but I'm warning you, I'm putting you on notice, that God will bring you into judgment. Then you will suffer the vanity of life. See, when we're young, the vanity of life doesn't have much effect on us. We have so many things to do, so many places to go. We don't have time to think about these things. We never think about these things. And that's why, as I said in the beginning, the preacher reflects upon the fact that these are good times for us. Though they are sad, yet they do stop us in our tracks even for a few moments and make us think on the things that are crucial to our life. And so the preacher says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because when you neglect him, and you continue to neglect him, then perhaps the day of salvation will pass you by. Perhaps the opportunity to hear the gospel and God calling you to repentance and faith pass you by. That you become like those that you hand a tract to and they take one step and throw it on the floor. Because they've got used to rejecting the gospel. And we can get into that mindset. So we need to be careful. Don't think, well, the gospel is for everyone. Any day I can choose to take it up. You know you can't. If you understand anything about the Reformed faith, you know that's not possible. By God's grace, by God's Holy Spirit, to open our hearts, to make us heed the things of God. And when you've neglected him and turned your back on him over and over and over and over again, it's to such people that he says, I'm going to bring my judgment upon you. And then you will see and reap the benefits of your unbelief. What will comfort you if God allows you old age? Will you become bitter? The life is no fun anymore. Or will it give you the strength that you need? As our confessions teach, faith in the Lord Jesus is a comfort in life and in death. We might say in youth and in old age. And finally, it prepares us for death itself. The approach of death. Death comes in a variety of ways. Sometimes we have time to contemplate our end. Other times it comes at lightning speed. We need to be prepared in either case. Dying is not an easy experience, but without faith, it is unbearable. If we don't have faith, we're not sure what's going to happen. What's going to come after death? We have an inkling, this niggling feeling that we must stand before God, that we have to give an account. And inside we know that we have no defense. It's not that we didn't know right from wrong. It's that we didn't know about God. But we rejected all of those things. We cast them aside. And now, that moment is not far away that we will close our eyes and leave this earth. And, well, if we live in fear of death, as Hebrews tells us, then how much fear do we have when we're about to enter it? The death of unbelievers is terrible. Linda was going downhill in regard to her health, even though it was surprising to hear that she passed away, because in the last couple of weeks or a month, she seemed to pick up. And yet, though she was going downhill, yet she was sure of her eternal well-being. And so that's the question that you and I are brought face to face with. Are you prepared to face a difficult time when you know that your life is coming to a close, either very close or certainly in the near future? I mean, psychologically, what happens? How are you going to cope? Cry every day until the moment happens? Be bitter about it? Kicking and screaming, as it were? Is there any sense of confidence that you have? Any stability that you will have? as a minister, of course, we come to minister to all kinds of situations. Some, in fact, where you know that death is coming. And so you have to minister to them. And I can say to you that the scriptures are not silent in the face of that situation. I don't go to make those visits thinking, what on earth am I going to say? How can I possibly say, oh, everything will be okay? It's not going to be okay in the sense that they are going to die. But that doesn't mean I don't have anything to say. It doesn't mean that I don't have words of comfort to bring. I most certainly do. But only to those that have faith. And those are the wonderful times of ministry where you benefit just as much as a person receiving the visit, because you share in a common faith. Nothing will substitute for the only comfort that we have, namely remembering our Creator and our redemption provided through His Son. And then, of course, at death itself. The last experience of life is death. It is an entrance to heaven or to hell. Our preparatory acts have a deadline, no pun intended. Beyond death, there is no more time for repentance, that is. And the preacher warns us that we must remember our Creator before the silver cord is loosed. All these images then that describe death. The silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. In other words, before that moment that we pass from this life, before that happens, we need to address this question. Unless we think that before that time we'll take care of it, like an insurance policy, just before we're going to have our unfortunate accident. Well, even though insurance agents, we like to avoid them, they're not standing outside your door, are they? To come in at the moment just before you're going to die and say, oh, sure, let's sign up. No, they're not there. You can't arrange it for that. And so it is with the scriptures. Even though the scriptures do give us hope, in other words, hope to repent. And as one preacher has said, for those that want to wait to the 11th hour, the scriptures give us hope to all by providing us with an example where a person did come to faith in the 11th hour, as it were, the thief on the cross. So repentance is never wasted. We need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But lest we fall into this other error of being carefree about these things and taking them for granted and think we can do it whenever we want, the preacher says that only one example is given. So one example is given so that we might have hope. But only one is given, lest we become complacent in these things. Not only will life be vanity without Jesus, but also death will be an unbearable event. And it will yield us up to eternal misery and vanity. Though Linda had many struggles and succumbed to death, and that without us being there, yet be assured that she was mightily prepared and that the Lord was with her and granted her the victory. Death is a sobering reminder of man's weakness and finitude. The reality of death can make our life miserable as we live in fear. However, when we remember our Creator and what He has provided in the Lord Jesus, namely forgiveness of sins and life eternal, then life, even with all its trials, becomes filled with comfort and hope. So let this reminder of the reality of death drive us back to the preacher and his crucial reminder to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, or as other scriptures put it, today is the day of salvation. Let us be prepared today, for no one is guaranteed tomorrow. Let us make sure that our life is built on a solid foundation that will never fail. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have provided for everything that we need for life and godliness, that you have provided for us an anchor for the soul in the storms of life, in death itself, that we might stand firm, that we might hope in you. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who experienced death for us and granted us this wonderful victory. And we're thankful for the thousands and millions of saints that have gone on ahead of us and have been received into heaven, into eternal glory. And so, Father, as we live on in this world, we pray that we may ever be prepared for the next. And our Father in heaven, we pray especially for our youth, that they might know you early in life, that their life would not be vanity of vanities, in danger of being judged, but rather, our Father, that they might walk in the ways of the Lord, be wise unto salvation, so that they may walk this life with confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, again, we pray that you would comfort your people, and Lord, that even not only in life, but in death itself, we may be an eloquent testimony of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.